This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Tuesday, November 1, 2022, The Solemnity of All Saints, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed are you.
May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I generally take a portion of Scripture, tease it out, do some exposition on it. And tonight, I want to do something different. I want to talk about the Mass, the Holy Mass, because the Mass is the presentation of what we believe as Catholics, not what we used to believe, but what we do believe as Catholics. What we believe has to be manifest. This is part and parcel of what we do in this world. We are supposed to reflect the glories of Christ in this world. And there is probably, debatably, no more a place where Christ can be glorified than in the lives of the saints. The saints are an integral part of our faith. They are an integral part of the communion that is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the church militant, us, the church suffering, those in purgatory, and those, the church triumphant, who have the beatific vision, who stand before the undivided Trinity because they are blessed. They have fulfilled what our Lord says here in the Gospel. Blessed are you if this, blessed are you if that. They've done that all, and now they are rewarded for that. When we come to Mass, we do not approach the altar as if we deserve to do it, as if we can do it on our own merits. That's why in traditional places, before there is any ascending to the altar, you stop at the foot of the altar. The priest who does not presume to be holy, who does not presume that he deserves to go to the altar, he stops and he does a confession. And then we all collectively do a confession. Then he ascends into the altar. This has been the presentation of how we approach God throughout the history of the church. We never presume on ourselves, our own righteousness. We point to others who are better than we are currently. The saints are better than we are because they've proven themselves. We have not. The church militant, the prayers at the foot of the altar, we approach our Lord, particularly in the Eucharist. We approach our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist. We do not approach him as if we merited to do so. We approach him, presenting to him why we do not presume to come to him by ourselves. We present to him that the Holy Spirit has worked through others in order that they now have the beatific vision, and we place ourselves in union with them, hoping through their merits and prayers, we will be like they will be someday. This is what the church does. The church militant does not want to, or, and I would actually submit, cannot approach the altar alone. We have to approach the altar in accompaniment with the church triumphant. Those saints who have proven themselves. As I said, this has come to the foremost in the canon of the Mass. The canon of the Mass, the prayer that we say, that in which the Holy Spirit comes down and changes bread and wine in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. When we look at that, we, much more than ascending to the altar to begin prayers, to hear the liturgy of the word, how much more should we place ourselves in a position where we let God know that we don't deserve this? It's that time. And at the opening of the canon of the Mass, and I'm talking about the Roman canon, I'm not talking about Eucharistic prayer number 1, 2, 3, 4, or any of the Eucharistic prayers that are an appendix in the New Missal. We're not talking about, we're talking about the Roman canon, that measuring rod of how we approach God, how we always have approached God. It is apostolic. It's apostolic. We have to understand that the apostles and the Holy Spirit have worked to hand down to us the way we approach God. And an integral part of that is associating ourselves with the saints in heaven. This prayer that is the Roman canon, it starts out, the first prayer that we say is in three parts. The first part, we speak of God, we speak of the vicar of Christ, and we speak of our bishop. And then we speak of Catholics alive who may not be here with us for whatever reason. They have a work of mercy. They have there's some reason that they cannot be here. Again, we're talking about living people that are not present with us. We pray for them, and we ask that their prayers be heard for us. So that's the second part of the prayer. And in addition to that, the priest also has, that's when the intentions that you ask for masses, that's where the intentions are said, okay, if the person is still living. We speak of all Catholics. Then the third part of the prayer is when we speak of the church triumphant. We point God's attention to those whom the Holy Spirit has worked through and brought to a position where they have the beatific vision. They're better than us. So we ask our Lord to, we tell him that we want them to pray for us in order to make us somewhat worthy to come before his altar and to receive him. This is what goes on in the traditional Mass. When the priest starts that prayer, as a lot of people, the list of the saints, we cannot ever lose sight of the fact of the importance of this. I think I'm kind of trying to give that vibe right now of how important that is. There was a person who, when this place came into communion with Rome, who actually was confirmed a Catholic, but then, as the scripture said, was a dog who returned to their vomit of Protestantism. And one of the biggest hang-ups with this person was, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like that. And I met with this person several times in my office for more than I would like to share. That's why I'm bald now, just pulling my hair out of there. There would always be something different as to what this person didn't like, but there was always one thing that they spoke of. Always. In that list of the saints, I can't believe we have to listen to that list of the saints every time we come. That is so sad. It's prideful. It's selfish. It's really arrogant. I can come before the Lord myself. I don't need the list of the saints. They've proven themselves. You have not. This is why we hear their names. We are to not only hear their names, we should, and if you hear their names all the time, priests should be telling you about different individuals. But when we hear this list of names, we should really know what's going on with it. We should understand why the list is even constructed the way it is. Who's first on the list? In primus, as it says in the old Mass, the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary, for us, unarguably, she has a particular honor before God because she's his mother. That's a huge thing. Okay, so we said the Blessed Virgin Mary, she starts the list of saints because we always got to remember the Blessed Mother was a creature like we are. Immaculate indeed, sinless indeed, but a creature. She is the queen of saints because she was better than all of them. She's first. And then we go into the list of the apostles. And this is where you see the construction of it. How come it's not the Blessed Virgin Mary, Peter, Paul, this, that? Every now and then we have these individuals that are connected together. The first two apostles, Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul together. Why? Because they're co-founders of the church. It's through their cooperative labors. St. Peter with the Jews, St. Paul with the Gentiles, that the Catholic Church exists. This is why when we have feast days of St. Peter and St. Paul, if it's a St. Peter's day, we always hear a prayer to St. Paul. If it's a St. Paul day, we always hear a prayer to St. Peter because they're that closely related. So the list that Peter and Paul. Then we go through a whole list of the apostles, except for one. Little church trivia here. There's only one apostle that's not in the list of saints in the first list. He's in the second list, Matthias, St. Matthias. Why isn't he in the first list? because he was not chosen by Jesus Christ personally to be an apostle. Remember, after Judas died, they have a vote, they cast lots, and he is chosen. Every other apostle, Jesus Christ himself, including St. Paul, Jesus was crucified. St. Paul was called by Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus. Matthias was not, so Matthias isn't in that list. So we have the apostles. Then we have a list of the earliest popes, Linus, Cletus, Clement. All those three were ordained by St. Peter. We got something going on there. They were all ordained to the priesthood by St. Peter. Then you have a couple other early popes, Sixtus and Cornelius, pope martyrs. Then we have a bishop, Cyprian, who was a close friend of Cornelius. So that's why we have Cornelius and Cyprian. Then we have a deacon, Lawrence. This is an interesting thing that the Holy Spirit does too. You think, well, this is just the old school apostles, you know, the first 100 years of the church. Actually, we springboard a couple 100 years ahead of that. We have some later saints, Chrysogonus, John and Paul. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants us to know that this saint thing doesn't stop with the apostles. It doesn't stop in the earliest age of the church. It goes on throughout eternity. So we have some later saints. And then we have laymen. And you know, a lot of people, that's just clericalism to throw out this list of apostles and bishops and deacons and stuff like that. Well, no, there's two laymen, Cosmas and Damian. They were doctors. Doctors have it going on with Jesus, apparently. Little footnote on my own thing. You got St. Luke, Cosmas and Damian. See, like, our Lord has a special soft spot with people who work in healthcare. But this being said, it's not clericalism. It is the list of those from all walks of life, through all clerical states, not just popes, not just bishops, all clerical states. The Holy Spirit has worked through them to make them what they were, to do what they did. This is why we hear their names. And it is so very important that we do. And it is so very important that you learn about them. Because a lot of people, oh, they're just into that veneration of saints. First and foremost, this is not the veneration of saints. It is placing ourselves in union with those saints to God. We are presenting their names to God as a memorial for what they did. This is what's going on here. Is how Catholics worship the saints. You know, you heard all your Protestant friends say that. We worship Mary, we worship the saints, you know, all that idolatry stuff. It's not about that, first and foremost. It is about presenting them to God and asking that he hear their prayers, those who are looking at him in his undivided Trinitarian glory, to hear their prayers for those of us who do not. This is what we do here. What happened? The vast, vast majority of you in here, like I'm thinking everyone as I scan the crowd, everyone has come to this place from other places. How often did you hear the list of saints? How often do you hear that? I am not a betting man. But if I were, and I actually want to be on this one, I can almost guarantee you that there are parishes out and about where they are having the celebration of the Holy Mass for the saints, and they're not hearing the list of the saints. They're hearing Eucharistic prayer, whatever number it is that's the shortest one to make sure we get people out of, because this is the middle of the week. They might lose an hour of work. They'll have to stay out late and miss whatever show you like to watch on TV. These people gave their lives for the Catholic faith. They gave their lives. And we're talking, oh, we can't hear their names because that would inconvenience me. Okay, praise God you're here on this day, because this is where we learn about such things. But what happened? Why don't we hear their names anymore? There is a reason why we don't hear their names anymore, and it's a hard reason. And it's hard because it makes folks like us sad because of what the church has become in other places. What happened with this list of the saints? This happened because, and this is a commentator, not me, who said that, and he's talking about liturgical changes, generally speaking, but this is huge. This is huge, because if we are presenting God, our union with the saints, because we're not worthy to approach him, what happens when we take out those saints? We're presuming on our own righteousness, like we're all that, and this is why God should let us toward his altar. Okay, this is what happened. This commentator says that liturgical changes have been done as a way to detach us from a fixed point of reference, whether in the church's tradition or an apostolic deposit of the faith. He was prophetic when he said this. He was prophetic because both of those things have happened. There is no fixed for a lot of people. There is no more fixed reference point with the faith. Oh, this is okay. These guys are okay. They deny our Savior, but they're okay. These people who, you know, they're belligerent to our Savior, they're okay. No, they're not. No, they're not okay. But why do a lot of Catholics think they're okay? Because we don't have a fixed point of reference anymore. Because we've been disassociated with the apostolic deposit of the faith. Apostolic. Do we not get together every time we get together for Mass on a feast day or on a Sunday and do the Creed? Okay, what do we believe? In one holy Catholic and apostolic church. But let's not speak of those apostles who are an integral part of what the church is. Okay, this is an evil thing. It's not a bad thing. It's evil. It is evil. It disassociates us, again, with the foundations of our faith. You know, how can we forget these people? Because this is another, I'm on a roll. Is another change that has happened was priests, traditionally. When you use the Roman breviary, there is an office of prime, comes before the morning office and the noon office. We don't have it anymore. It was suppressed. During the office of prime, you always were required to read the Roman Martyrology. The Roman Martyrology is a book about yea thick. And for every single day of the year, there is a list. It can be about a half a page or a page and a half of names of people who died for the faith. Priests had to read that every day. I have used that breviary for 15 years. And I've read through that cover to cover for 15 years, use it for homily. So I'm aware of, you know, there's a story, it's like, oh my gosh, this is the person they did this to, this is the person they did that to, and everything. There are priests who've never seen a martyrology. Many priests who have never seen a martyrology must have read it. When you don't learn about what these people do, you can start gaffing it off as a list of names. But it's impossible if you know. If just the apostles, we have feast days for these guys. They were crucified. They were killed by swords, heads cut off, stabbed to death. They were thrown down from high places, the temple buildings. They were beaten to death. One of them was hung by hooks run through his ankles, hung upside down until he died. Not to mention those who were dragged to death. Those were hung just in what we would consider a normal hanging. Praise God for that, because that was merciful. Because there was one, Bartholomew, who was flayed to death. They rip your skin off while you're alive. We wouldn't do that to an animal. No hunter would ever do that to a deer out of the woods. They always make sure the animal's dead. And Bartholomew, they flayed him alive. It's like taking being scalped and to the next level. They did that to the Mass. So every time I read that list and I hit Bartholomew, there's not a Mass when I don't see Bartholomew and I don't think about that. Very briefly, but I think about it and what he did and how insignificant my work is when compared to something like that. This is the reality of things. This is why we should know about these people. You don't have to be a priest to buy a martyrology. I actually got an email after the noon Mass. Where do you get one of those? Here's where you get one of those. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying do it every day, but as a devotional, how great is that? You know, to read about these people who did these kind of things. You know, we have the second list of the saints. You know, this is where we start. We see women. You know, women come up. Anastasia, I hope every single time from henceforth when you hear that name in that second list of saints, those martyrs, that you remember how she died, because it's grotesque. St. Anastasia was arrested for being a Christian. They brought her bound in chains before the judge. They said, she's accused of being a Christian. And she said, no need to accuse me because I am a Christian. Okay, she admits it. So, oh, you're a Christian, huh? So they beat her, and then they burned her with torches, and then they scourged her like our Lord. A lot of people died during scourging. That was kind of a quick way to get this over and done with. They just die so you don't have to crucify them. So they scourge her. They get done. She's still alive. How much do you love Christ now? As much as I did when you started, in a nutshell. So they mutilated her. I won't get into more details of that because of decorum's sake. Then they tore out her nails. They broke out all her teeth. And they cut off her hands and her feet. And then they beheaded her. The next time you hear Anastasia in the Mass, I hope you, that was gross. That was too much. That was over the top. Remember it. Remember it, and then think about the next time you went, if I miss Mass today, I'll visit. Remember that kind of stuff. This is where it starts to, it's a catalyst for us understanding what these men and women did and endured for the faith. This is a reality. They're not just names. They were human beings. They had families. This is the reality of your faith. This is why these people are honored. And it's not because some guys got together and said we should honor them. It's because the Holy Spirit said they should be honored. Every one of the readings today talks about honoring the saints. Every single one of them. And it's Scripture. This is what's going on here. So to not do it is a, it is an evil, I would submit, satanic travesty. There's so many people gather for masses all the time and hear Eucharistic prayer number whatever or so to make sure they get out of here on time. And they know not one thing about this. They presume to approach the altar of our Lord and their own merits, obviously. They don't want to put themselves in union with the saints. This is horrible that what this has done, this detachment from the apostolic tradition. And it's not stopping. It is not stopping. And it's getting almost to the point where people who know the faith, statements are made that are ridiculous. There's a hierarch in the church, a very high office, this week, who spoke to a group of seminarians. And he said to them that it is not licit to convince others of your faith. It's not licit. So I guess Jesus Christ, when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to do all that I commanded you, I guess Jesus was telling us to do something that was illicit. That's where it's come. This is where we are. But this isn't a matter of lamenting and wringing our hands and, oh, it's so horrible. No, it's not, because we're in union with the saints. We're in union with the saints. We learn about them. We speak of them every single Mass, even during the week. This is why we do what we do, because it puts us in union with the entire Catholic Church, not just the church militant here, who people may or may not even go to heaven. That we appeal to those before God who are already there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.